Well, we welcome you back tonight. Trust you have had a good Lord's Day so far, and we're in for a wonderful treat this evening, both in the testimonies that we'll hear as well as a chance to study God's Word together in just a few minutes. I want to remind you, especially for those of you who may be our guests tonight, or perhaps it's been a while since you've been in a baptism service, I want to remind you of what this is about. Our Lord, in the weeks after his resurrection, gathered with the disciples and 500 probably of his disciples in Galilee on a mountain there. And in that context, he gave them this command, the command that we call the Great Commission. It was not merely for the 11, but rather it was for all of us and for all of the disciples that had gathered that day. And he said, I want you, because all authority has been given to me, I want you to make disciples of all the nations. That's us. To make a disciple, of course, as we were reminded this morning, is to become a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, to become a Christian. He said, I want you to go and seek to make disciples. And once you have made them disciples, I want you to baptize them. The word simply means to immerse, to put under the water. And it is a testimony in several ways. It is a confession of Jesus as Lord. It is an association with the rest of God's people as well. It is a testimony to the reality of what has already happened in that person's heart. They have, in some time before the baptism, they have confessed Jesus as Lord. They have repented and believed. And at that moment, they died to the person they used to be. And they were raised to a new life in Christ. And that's really what's pictured in baptism. It is simply an outward sign of a spiritual reality that already exists. And so tonight, I hope you will pray for those who come to share their testimonies with us. There are three of them, and I trust you'll choose one that you can especially pray for. Let them know that you'll be praying for them in the weeks ahead.
My name is Savannah Stonecipher. Before I was saved, I went to a Bible church, was raised in a Christian home, and knew who God was. As I got older, I began to question what salvation was and wonder what God wanted me to do. One night, when I was 9 years old, I asked my dad what it meant to have salvation and to be a Christian. He explained how Jesus had died for me, written in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He also told me that to be saved, I had to accept that Jesus had died for me to be pardoned from a holy and righteous God, as told in Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. He talked to me about everything I had done wrong in God's eyes, and I contemplated the fact that such a wretched sinner like me had a perfect, blameless man die for me. I prayed out loud with my dad, putting my faith in Christ and repenting of my sin. As I've grown older, I have matured spiritually in what God has commanded me to do. Although I know I'm not perfect and cannot keep God's law perfectly, I have given my will to the Lord's and he has helped me to grow more. I strive to live a life to glorify God and to be more like him, like in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Today I study God's word, desiring to know more about him. I pray for God to use me to his will for his glorification and for him to make me more Christ-like. I tell others of God's love and what his son Jesus did for us all, and that is why I'm here today.
Savannah, thank you so much for your testimony. You know, it's a wonderful thing in God's providence when we are born into Christian homes and we have parents who direct us and teach us the gospel. And because you have come to understand the gospel, because you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ and in him alone, because in Jesus' terms you have become his follower, his disciple, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here you go.
Hello, my name is Lori Wegscheid. I was raised in a Christian home and went to church every time the doors were open. I attended Awana, youth group, Sunday school, Bible studies, and VBS. In fifth grade, I raised my hand in an evangelistic service, and 1 year later was baptized. But I did not have the desire to obey the things I was hearing. It was all about me and my desires. Bible reading was frustrating. Hard to understand, hard names and teachings that were difficult to live by, and I had no desire to do it. Through Awana, I was introduced to countless verses that told me I was a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I deserve death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Also that God loved me, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was also the only way. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that if I believe that he died and was buried and rose again, 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 4, that Christ died for sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, I would be saved, Acts 16:31b. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The August before my senior year in high school, while attending summer camp, I trusted Christ as my Savior. But I did not understand how vital Bible reading and studying and hearing the Word of God taught expositionally was to my spiritual growth. I began to read the Word, but I wasn't consistent. I figured I could read it when I needed it. But because I wasn't a student of the Word, like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I had a poor knowledge of where to head when I needed it. Therefore, what I did read did not make much sense, and because I was too lazy to study it, the effects on my life were minimal at best. But there was a phrase that was very interesting to me and seemed pivotal: walking in the Spirit. How did a person do that? The answers I got did not help me. It wasn't until one summer, while at a parent session of a worldview camp that my son attended, the speaker pointed out that I needed to ask, what would Jesus think? Because my actions revealed what I thought. I learned that Scripture was what my mind had to be filled with if I ever wanted to grow in the Lord. From that point, I read the Bible voraciously and listened to John MacArthur daily on the radio. I started to grow and understand like never before. Now I look forward to reading the Word, studying the Word, and coming and hearing the Word taught. I have such a desire to read the Word inside that I never had before. I also make it a priority to teach what I'm learning to my kids and those that I work with in Awana and the youth group. While considering membership, I realized that my earlier baptism came before true salvation. So out of obedience, I come today to be baptized.
Lori, thank you for your testimony of faith in Christ. We rejoice in God's work in your life, how he brought you through all of those things, ultimately to understand that your first profession of faith was not genuine, and brought you to see that you needed to truly repent and believe in Christ. And we're thrilled with how God has changed you, the desires he's given you for his word, the other things you mentioned. Because you love him, because you are committed to follow him, because he is your Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Michael Grady. I'm the wretch the song refers to. I too grew up in the church. I went every Sunday, every Wednesday with my mom. I memorized and heard verses like John 3:16, but never really understood what they meant. I even got baptized when I was 10 years old. I went through the motions of saying a prayer, and I might even signed a card. I look back now, and I know I wasn't saved. Let's see here. My previous baptism was nothing more than getting wet. I lived most of my life as the chief of sinners. Those who knew me, they knew I was a bad guy. I was pretty bad. It wasn't until the spring of 2007 when I started feeling that something wasn't right. And then I stumbled across a book called The Way of the Master by Ray Comfort. I read the book, highlighted the book. I just didn't see or hear what the book had to say. It wasn't until July 31st, 2007, on Highway 10, heading toward the Florida state line, that everything clicked. The scales fell off, just like Acts 9:18, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. It was like the last puzzle piece fell into place, and the Holy Spirit flipped the light onto my heart, just like 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of the darkness,' is one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I understood for the very first time that I was a liar, a blasphemer. I was an adulterer and a murderer at heart. I seen my sin in God's law, just like Romans 3:20 says, "Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." I knew if I stepped out of this world without Christ, I would be in hell for all eternity. So that, for the very first time, scared me. I was actually scared for the very first time. So I sat there and I thought, what do I do? What did the book tell me to do? And there, just like a rare pearl at the bottom of the ocean, was the answer. Just like heaven is presented in Matthew 13:45-46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. Upon finding one, a pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The answer was, repent and place your trust in Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, if you did that, just like Ephesians 2:8-9, a gift of grace will be given to you. And for grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So I did. I stared out ahead of me on that highway, and I cried out to God in my heart, "Lord, I beg you to save me. Please save me. I repent of my sins, and I trust in you like I would a parachute in a crashing airplane." From that day forward, my life changed forever. I tried living my life for Christ as best as I can these last few years. I shared the gospel with family, friends, people I meet. I want everyone to know who Christ is. I don't want them to go one more day without knowing the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I want them to know that if they repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ as I did, that if they do that, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, monogenes, the one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, just like John 3:16 says. So that's me, Michael Grady, the wretch that the song refers to.
Michael, thank you so much for sharing with us the Lord's work in your life. We're so grateful that, as for us, he opened your eyes to see who you really were, a sinner in God's sight, without hope, unless there was Christ. And we're grateful that he helped you to see the value and beauty of Jesus Christ and to want to be his disciple, his follower. Because you have repented of your sins and because you have put your faith in Christ alone as your only hope of being right with God, in his perfect life and in his substitutionary death, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, amen. Let's pray together for these who've been baptized tonight. Our Father, we are so grateful that you gave us the privilege of hearing these testimonies. Lord, those of us who are in Christ heard in one or more of these testimonies a portion of our own story. We're reminded of what you did to save us, to open our eyes to our sinfulness and our wretched condition before you, and that you delivered us, you rescued us from your justice, your wrath against our sins, which we would have had to bear for all eternity. And you punished those sins instead in Christ. Father, we're so grateful for your love and goodness. And we pray for those who've shared their testimonies with us tonight. We pray for your continued work in each of their lives. We pray that for Savannah. We pray it for Laurie. We pray it for Michael. Lord, may you continue to work in them to make them more like Jesus Christ, to give them a greater desire for spiritual things, and to make them a bright light in a dark place. Lord, we pray for those here tonight who maybe have never humbled themselves before you, have never cried out, as Michael did, for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. Lord, may this be the night before their head hits the pillow when they respond to the gospel that perhaps they've heard many times before. Continue to bless our time of worship together in music and in the study of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.